This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
We've got a short show today, so we're going to get right to it. But before we do anything else, let's ask Tiff Pewitt. Tiff, this flag football incident yesterday in Milwaukee, I think, has a lot of people on edge. What do we know? Because it seems like we're not getting a whole lot of details right now.
Right. So Milwaukee police confirmed that it happened just after 1 o'clock at a youth flag football game at South Stadium in Milwaukee. So that's on the south side. And they say that a 47-year-old man was shot at the stadium, died of his gunshot wound injuries at the hospital. Now, police had originally arrested a 30-some-year-old in connection with the incident. They eventually released them because they realized they were not involved. So the police are actually still looking for suspects.
We don't know, though. Was this involved in terms of a parent or someone at the game, or was this adjacent to the game? We don't have that information
yet. We don't have those details yet, but Milwaukee Public Schools is saying that they're going to be providing support to parents and students should they need them when school returns on Monday.
Well, I would think just being anywhere near an incident like that, certainly you'd need that support. What really bothers me about this is we encourage kids to be involved in organized sports and activities, and that should supposedly be a safe space for them. And to see a tragedy like this, I think, is so disturbing.
Right. And the aldermen have said, Common Council Jose Perez has said that this kind of violence needs to stop in our city.
Oh, beyond that. It's just out of hand sometimes. Tiff, thank you. I know you are here with us throughout the morning. And as I just said, we've got a very busy show today. I'll tell you all about it in just a moment. But before we do anything else, do you like doing home remodeling?
I am somewhat handy. Like, I can operate a circular saw with the best of them. But other than that, you know.
You're going to like our next guest. This time of year, it's always fun to take a look around the house and think about what you want to change. Well, no better place to get some ideas than at the NARE Milwaukee Home and Remodeling Show taking place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we have Michelle Brown, who is the executive director of NARE. And I understand, Michelle, that this year you're doing something a little different, and it's got sort of that Halloween vibe.
Yes. So this year we are featuring some spookies on the show floor, and it's not your typical front porch decor, but more of a haunted mansion-esque vibe. So Ooh. Our members have created two eerie living rooms and a haunted bar for us to enjoy.
I got to stop you right there. Two eerie living rooms. Now, tell me there are cobwebs in the corner.
Oh, we'll have to see. I know there's a all in one of the spaces. I've already seen that one.
Wait, there's a what? There's a what in that space?
A creepy dowel.
A creepy dowel. Ooh, ooh. Yeah. And what about the haunted bar? What are they doing with that one?
Yes. I don't want to give too much away, but I think there's a coffin involved.
In the bar. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, we have to check this out. Now, in addition, you're doing some things with greenhouses.
Yes. So this is actually a chance to get a sneak peek at something we're really doing at the spring show. But the NARE Milwaukee Foundation has created their first ever challenge where they're going to not only build, design, and go through a process to create these greenhouses. We'll get to see the rendering fall show and the final project at the Spring Home Improvement Show in February.
Oh, well, I know you always do a great job, and you have, what, is it about 100 different exhibitors this year?
Yes, we've actually had to recreate the show floor plan 3 times to accommodate all the exhibitors that wanted to be in the show this year. So we have over 100 exhibitors from kitchen and bath, home exteriors, landscaping, HVAC, electrical, windows, doors, and more.
Well, I know if you're working with a NARE member, you've got professionals that you can count on. And if you want to get more information or you want to get tickets, what do we need to do?
Go to naremilwaukee.org, and right on the homepage, you'll see a link to purchase tickets.
Well, we've got a very short show today with Green Bay Game Day getting underway at 9 o'clock. But I'm so excited about the one guest we do have this morning, Jennifer Beals. Remember her? You've seen the movie Flashdance? Yep, that was Jennifer Beals. Well, she's going to be talking with us about her personal experience with something that a lot of people get this time of year. We'll tell you about that in just a few minutes. Also, we've got Teddy Nykel here from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and she has a little bit more information on where and how you'll be able to watch the Brewers on television next year. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Ryden, has a warning about getting a notice for jury duty. As you just heard, Tiff Pooh is here in the newsroom. Nate's pushing those buttons. And we've got WTMJ Sports in just a couple of minutes. It is going to be a cloudy day, windy, scattered showers, isolated thunder. We're going to get up to about 61 degrees. It is 48 at 8:13 on WTMJ. The Badgers took down Rutgers for a 42-7 win yesterday. It was their first victory on the road this year and their best win so far this season. The Packers are back at Lambeau today for a noon kickoff against the Arizona Cardinals. We'll break it down for you with Green Bay Game Day getting underway at 9, right after Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 8:16 and we've got 48 degrees. We're going to get up to about 61. Watch out. Looks like it's going to be a little bit more rain today. Oh, Michelle, it seems like a lot of people want to try to avoid jury duty, but it is our civic duty. And for those of us who feel it's necessary, we still have to watch out because there are some fake jury duty notices out there. What are you hearing at the offices of DATCAP?
Well, this is one of those scams that we hear about from time to time, and it's popping up again. And we know missing jury duty can come with real consequences. You can face a fine, be required to go to court, or even get arrested. So scammers take advantage of this and use those scare tactics to try and get your money and sensitive information. A jury duty scam usually starts with a phone call or an email from someone claiming to be a court official or someone from law enforcement, and then they say you missed jury duty, even though you never got that written jury notice. And now there's a warrant out for your arrest. And the only way to cancel that warrant is to pay a fine and confirm your identity and provide your personal information like a social security number or your date of birth. And then if you refuse, they threaten you with jail. To make that scam seem even more legitimate, the scammers might give you a fake badge number and a case number. And all this can be very scary for a consumer.
So if you have that notice, if that notification comes to you, what should you do to find out if it's actually legitimate?
Well, if you think an email or a notification is real, call the court directly at the number that you can verify is correct. Never use the contact information in any suspicious messages that you receive. And keep in mind, a real jury summons is sent by U.S. mail before you're required to appear for jury selection. And if you miss jury duty, you'll be contacted by the court. Now, each municipality does that follow-up contact differently, so there isn't that very specific way in which it happens throughout our state. However, you can always contact your local municipality to inquire if you have missed jury duty and how you proceed from there. But don't just respond by making a payment or handing over your personal information to some phone call that comes out of the blue.
And finally, Michelle, if you think you are being scammed, who should we call?
Please call Wisconsin's Consumer Protection here at DATCAP, 1-800-422-7128.
It's always great to hear from our consumer expert, Michelle Ryden. It's 8:18, and somebody just texted and said, it's cloudy today. We got sunshine right now. Well, yes, but there are going to be a lot of clouds because we've got some possible rain coming in a little bit later on today. 48 degrees at 8:19 on WTMJ. We finally got some rain yesterday. I think a lot of us were really relieved to see it. Today, yeah, it's sunny right now in most places, but it is expected to get a few clouds in here. It's going to be windy this afternoon, maybe some scattered showers with some isolated thunder. Our high temperature will be 61 degrees. Then tonight, very windy, scattered showers down to 43. Tomorrow looks mainly cloudy. Yep, maybe a few more scattered showers. The good news is you don't have to water. A high of 55. Then on Tuesday, showers in the morning, cool, turning partly cloudy, breezy, 53 for a high. Warming up just a little bit on Wednesday, but we should get frost overnight. Sunny the rest of the day and a high of 57 degrees. As you're waking up on this Sunday morning around southeastern Wisconsin and Wauwatosa, you've got 49 degrees. Delafield's at 46. Sheboygan has 49, and it's 50 degrees at 8:22 on WTMJ. It's time to check in with Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And last week, Teddy, we talked about the Brewers and how depressed we were, and I think we still are, about their loss to the Mets. But you might have a little bit more information about how their telecasts are going to go, and that could be good news.
Yeah, so I think people probably already heard that Bally Sports is likely to end its contract with the Brewers next season, and MLB, Major League Baseball, is going to be taking over the broadcast. We got a bit more information about what that's going to look like this week. The Brewers executive Rick Schlesinger gave a press conference where he kind of talked through some of the questions that are probably on a lot of fans' minds. So kind of what we've learned here is that we still don't have a ton of details about what the broadcasts are going to look like under MLB's broadcast, but it will be available on cable and satellite. There'll be a dedicated Brewers TV channel that will broadcast the games as well as pre- and post-game content. And there will also be a streaming option. There's not a ton of details about exactly what that will look like, but it'll be some kind of subscription streaming package that will be available as well for people who want to stream. The good news is who are fans of the longtime on-air talent like Brian Anderson and Bill Schroeder, those are Brewers employees, so they'll be staying on. They'll be continuing to do the broadcast, even under the new broadcast deal with MLB. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. Still a lot of questions about some of the details, but fans will still have multiple ways to watch the games next season.
Well, I think what fans are most concerned about is, will they have to pay to watch the game on TV?
So he addressed that. Rick Schlesinger addressed that. You know, it's likely to just the channel will be part of your cable package or your satellite package. So it sounds like no, but he did say it's specific to each cable distributor. So still maybe some confirmations there to come.
There's always a caveat. All right.
He did mention the cost. You know, he doesn't know the exact cost for the streaming subscription. But last year, the MLB's model for other teams was $99 for 6 months. So it's kind of a starting point of what people might be able to expect with the streaming subscription.
Yeah, that makes it a lot more interesting. All right, Teddy, let's move to more jobs in the state of Wisconsin. And again, they keep going to that corner around Racine and Kenosha County. And tell us about this German manufacturer.
Yeah, so there's a German manufacturing company called Schutz Container Systems. They're already building one plant in Kenosha. It's expected to be their largest North American facility. And we learned recently that they plan to potentially do two more facilities. So, again, the first facility is underway, and the next two could break ground in the spring. And they would have initially 55 more employees. Combined, all of these plants would be expected to bring nearly $100 million in property tax value to Kenosha. So just continued investment in that corridor of industrial manufacturing.
Those are some serious numbers, Teddy. Well, let's take a look downtown. Northwestern Mutual is making a few changes to their facade. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so we've already known Northwestern Mutual is planning to move 2,000 employees from its Franklin campus to downtown. But in order to make that happen, they are renovating one of their older office buildings that's just north of their beautiful glass tower that they built a couple of years ago. And as part of this renovation project, they are stripping the entire outside of the building, taking off all of the brick and exterior materials, and they're going to replace it with glass. It's going to look very similar to the taller existing Northwestern Mutual Tower, and they're even adding a similar curvature. So it's going to have a very similar architectural design. It's not expected to be done until 2027, but we recently got an update from the company on how things are going, and we got a construction tour a couple days ago, and so we were able to kind of see where they're at with all the construction. The company said they're still on schedule, and they have finished stripping that exterior brick, and now they'll be able to start with adding that glass relatively soon next year to, again, make it look like it's neighboring Northwestern Mutual Tower.
Well, I bet a lot of those Northwestern Mutual employees, now that they're working downtown, are living downtown, and that brings us to the Couture Apartments. They're filling up, but it's a slow and steady process. But tell us about the commercial use of that building.
Yeah, so this is right near Northwestern Mutual's tower, not far. Everyone, I'm sure, has seen, you know, driving downtown, this new Couture Tower right along the lakefront near Summerfest. So the building is roughly around
a third full in terms of apartments. So they're still working on leasing up the apartments. The bottom three floors are expected to be restaurants, retail, and the company said that they hope to announce all of those restaurants and retailers by the end of the year. There's two restaurants that they're negotiating leases with that are hoping to open by next summer. So things could start moving pretty fast pretty soon here. But one thing we did recently learn is that the tower is adding even more amenities for residents, trying to attract more residents as they're looking to fill up those apartments. They already have an outdoor pool, a fitness center, et cetera, on the fourth floor, but they recently told us that they're planning to take some of the retail space that they planned on the second floor and dedicate that to even more amenities for residents. So there's going to be golf simulators, a kids' play area, a yoga studio, a larger fitness center, and so more changes to come there to attract residents to this luxury tower.
Well, speaking of luxury apartments downtown, tell us about the other building that's been negotiating with a local restaurant to occupy its ground floor space.
Yeah, so this is the other new tower people I'm sure have seen in the Third Ward right across from the Milwaukee Public Market, another luxury tower that opened this year as well. They are also kind of slowly, steadily filling up the apartments. They're around 18% leased. And similarly, although it's a little bit smaller in terms of their retail footprint, they have retail space on the ground floor. Also, like the Couture, they haven't announced yet who's coming, but we did recently learn a little bit of a hint. So they have a restaurant space that's right along the Milwaukee River. So that will be a nice area where there'll be restaurants or restaurant seating right along the river there. And they told us that it is a local restaurant. So they said they have received interest from national brands, but they really wanted to keep it local. And they're negotiating with a local restaurant to occupy that space. And we should know, hopefully, with around 45 days. So by the end of the year here, we should be kind of knowing all the new restaurants that are going to be filling up these new towers downtown.
And I'm sure we'll hear it first from you, Teddy Nykl at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Always great to have you here.
Thanks, Libby.
Hey, Tiff, were you a fan of the movie Flashdance?
Yes, I am a child of the 80s, and though I was young in the early 80s, those movies, all that hair.
all that water falling out.
That scene is classic.
Well, we're going to be talking with Jennifer Beals, the star of Flashdance, right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Do you recognize that movie? Well, actress Jennifer Beals has appeared in dozens of movies and television shows, including one of the most popular films of the 80s. Remember Flashdance? Well, she also starred and won awards for her part in The L Word. She's both a performer and executive producer. But Jennifer has an important story to share that many of us can relate to. October is RSV Awareness Month, and joining us to talk about her personal experience with the disease is actress producer Jennifer Beals, and she's also joined by Dr. Leonard Friedland. Jennifer, you're only 60 years old. That's young. Plus, you're in great physical health. I understand that you do kickboxing, kung fu, you're triathlete. How did you, of all people, end up with RSV?
Thank you so much for having me, Libby, and I want to thank GSK for inviting me to partner with them on their RSV awareness campaign by sharing my experience. I love that you referred to the kickboxing and the kung fu. Those are misrepresentations of me I'm pretty sure Wikipedia, but I did do triathlons. By way of context for my experience of RSV, I have always been proactive about my health. I do consider myself an active person. I love being outdoors. I kind of need to be outdoors. It really puts me in a state of joy. I love open water swimming. It's probably left over from my triathlon days. And I love hiking and kayaking and playing pickleball. And I also have an active work life. If I'm not on set, then, you know, usually I'm in daily meetings developing new projects. So when this first happened, I have to say the symptoms were really mild. It just felt like a little cold. I had a little bit of congestion and a low-grade fever for a day. I took a COVID-19 test just out of precaution, and that came back negative. So I just really went about my daily life as if I had a little cold. And then my symptoms started to get worse. You know, I started having trouble sleeping because I was so congested, and I started to develop this persistent cough. And then suddenly all those things that I really love to do, like hiking and open water swimming and kayaking, all became more difficult because my breathing was compromised. And I could not figure out for the life of me what was going on. All I knew is that everything was that much harder to accomplish. So finally, I went to my doctor, and I was shocked when she diagnosed me with RSV.
Jennifer, how long did these symptoms last before you went to the doctor?
Well, you know, I was so busy at the time, and you know how it is. You know, you put things off. But I felt like I finally got to a tipping point where I just felt like I can't afford to be feeling this way for much longer. Like, I have way too much to do. So I would say it's probably a couple of weeks before I went because I thought it was a cold. And there's also this sort of sneaky part of it where the symptoms will subside a little bit. And so you think you're done. And then all of a sudden they come roaring back. So when I went to the doctor, I was really surprised that she had diagnosed me with RSV because I thought it was an anomaly among adults. I thought really only young children and infants were impacted by RSV. And then I was shocked again when she told me that there was no specific treatment for RSV and that the best thing that I could do would be to rest, which frankly is challenging for me. So I did my best, and the symptoms lingered for 2 months.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm totally fine now. I'm completely fine. And frankly, you know, my bout with RSV was really mild compared with what can happen. But it was a real wake-up call to the potential severity of respiratory illnesses like RSV.
Dr. Friedland, is this typical of a patient around Jennifer's age, 60 years old, otherwise in good health, where it just lingers, but you eventually get over it?
Jennifer's story of her illness is absolutely typical of RSV. And fortunately, even though she had a prolonged course, about 2 months to recover, fortunately, she did recover fully. It's estimated there's about 177,000 adults over the age of 65 who get sick enough that they end up needing to be hospitalized. Of that 177,000 hospitalizations in adults over 65, unfortunately, 14,000 approximately die every year in the United States due to RSV. What we find is adults over the age of 60 with certain underlying health conditions such as chronic heart and chronic lung disease like asthma, COPD, congestive heart failure, people with diabetes, chronic kidney disease, people with weakened immune systems, people living in nursing homes. But the good news is there are now preventative options through vaccination to help protect adults over the age of 60.
Jennifer, were you aware of the vaccination?
No, I had no idea that adults got RSV. Certainly wasn't in my realm of knowledge, for sure. It wasn't something that I was thinking about at all.
Have you gotten the vaccine since?
You know, that's a conversation that I'm going to have with my doctor since I just had it. I think I'll speak with my healthcare provider and we'll have a real discussion about that.
Is there any sort of lingering effect that you struggle with on a daily basis?
Not at all, actually. Like, I just went on a swim like a couple months ago and it felt great and started running again, started doing cross-country running again, and that felt really great. So luckily for me, I'm all clear, but what concerns me are people who are in the demographic of 60 and older who have underlying health conditions who, you know, might not fare so well. Those are the people that really concern me.
Is there anything that you wish you had done differently when you first got the symptoms of a cold?
Well, I wish I had gotten my diagnosis faster. Like, I wish I had gone to the doctor more quickly. But, you know, you get so busy. You get caught up in life. And you think also that it's going to end. You think, oh, it's a cold. It'll be 8 days top. And so you're running around doing all of your work. You know, I'm producing all these different projects. I'm working on so many different things that I thought, oh, 8 days. Okay, I can do 8 days with a cold. And then it just started to get worse, and I knew I had to get to the doctor.
Jen, is there any upcoming project that you're working on, since you said you're working so hard right now?
Yeah, I just finished a really beautiful film called Hello Out There. But I'll tell you, I was supposed to do a podcast with a friend of mine earlier this year, and I was in London in order to do it, and I still was so congested. I said, guys, I can't do the podcast. I have to wait until this cleared. And so it was frustrating how it got in the way of work sometimes.
Dr. Friedland, how can we get more information about RSV?
Absolutely speak to your doctor or your pharmacist and ask about vaccination. There's also a website to get information, and that is sidersv.com.
Jennifer, one last question. So many young women, like myself, were inspired by your very first starring role in Flashdance, where you played a steel welder who wanted to be a dancer. Have to ask you this question. Is it true you turned down an offer to be on Dancing with the Stars?
I did. I did. Those people are, they're just so talented and so amazing. Like, I so appreciate what they do, but that is just not my wheelhouse.
Well, we enjoy everything that we've seen you in. Jennifer Beals, along with Dr. Leonard Friedland, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I wish Jennifer Beals had taken them up on the offer of being in Dancing with the Stars. At least I know who she is compared to some of the people we've seen on there. Okay, it is 8:45. We've got 50 degrees at WTMJ. The Badgers took down Rutgers for a 42-7 win yesterday, and the Packers are back at Lambeau today for a noon kickoff against the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to break it down for you after the news here, or I'm sorry, after Wisconsin Weekend Morning News with Green Bay Game Day getting underway at 9. It's 8:48 on WTMJ.
Good morning. This is a Sunday Sip on News Radio WTMJ. I'm Eric Bielstead. I'm joined by Randy Hill with David J. Frank Landscape Contracting. Randy, hello.
Hello, Eric. Thanks for having me today.
Randy is the Director of Sales at David J. Frank Landscape Contracting. Wanted to get you in to ask about winterizing the yard. We're into the fall now. It's October. The season is here. You can kind of feel it in the air. And I always look out of my yard and I'm like, meh, maybe it'll be okay. Maybe I shouldn't winterize. Knowing that obviously there are things that you should be doing.
Of course, yeah, winter is coming. It's inevitable. When we think about fall landscape activities, we think about how we can protect and strengthen our landscape, right? Get it ready for winter, get it prepped for spring. So there's the obvious stuff that we have to do. We have to rake the leaves. We got to do the fall cleanup. We want to get all that debris and leaf material off of our plant beds, off of our turf panels.
Okay.
Above and beyond that, this was a pretty tough year for our landscapes. If you think back to the spring and early summer we had, there was a ton of rain, mm-hmm. a lot of saturated soils, right? And then we transitioned from that right into near drought conditions. You know, so we went from that wet, moist condition to right away, boom, hot and dry. And that took a toll on our landscape. So there are certainly some things you want to do to help strengthen your turf panels and your plant material. When you talk about turf panels, it's always great to aerate your lawns.
Okay.
Loosen up that compacted soil a little bit. That's going to get the nutrients and water down deeper. The deeper your roots are on your lawn, the stronger it's going to be. So it's going to be more drought resistant in the future, more prone to being weed free. So that's one thing you want to do. Overseeding is also important. And then there's still time in the season for probably too late lawn fertilizations. If you can get one done right about now, you can time another one just before the ground freezes. Those are great to do because they don't encourage the top growth. We're not going to be cutting our grass longer.
Right.
It's going to encourage that root growth, and it's going to hold those nutrients in over the winter. Then when it comes to plant material, like I said, plant material had it rough this year because of the weather that we got. It's always great to do some dormant fertilizations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that now because if you fertilize now, you're going to be promoting growth this time of year. You want to wait until it's 2-3 weeks before the ground freezes. Get some good nutrients into your trees and your shrubs. It's going to help them survive the winter, going to help them really have more energy in spring.
And you'll notice that in the spring if you don't do something like that, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes, 100%. Yeah, you won't see them leaf out as fully. You'll see it. They went through a lot of stress this year,
right?
And they're going to continue that stress unless we feed them so they're ready for next spring.
And why do I need to get those leaves out of the beds? Why does that matter?
It's just more debris that can get in the way. It's going to inhibit next year's growth, in turf panels especially.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of our lawns are a mix of fescue ryegrasses and bluegrass. Some of them are going to reseed themselves, right? So you've got a thick cover of leaves and debris on there. It's going to inhibit that from growing.
Randy Hill joins us from David J. Frank Landscape Contracting. DavidJFrank.com is the website. They've been around 65 years. A little bit more on the company here in a second. But first, you promised me some fun things that we can do with our lawn here in the autumn. What does that mean? What is fun things?
Of course, yeah. There's a lot of utilitarian things that we have to do in fall.
Yeah.
When it comes to fun stuff, I mean, there's still time to get projects done this year. You know, it's a 70-degree day in October right now.
Right.
Historically, I started this 25, 30 years ago. Like, we finished landscaping around November 1st. We've had landscapable weather all the way through Christmas the last couple of
it's
years.
True,
we've had crews out last year doing hardscape projects January, February. So there is still time to get your projects done. So if you've been dreaming of an outdoor space, of some enhanced plantings,
really?
There's still time to get that done. Also, too, when you talk about fun fall, like the landscape's getting brown, it's getting gray, things are going dormant. It's always fun to bring a splash of color this time of year, and you can achieve that through some autumn displays, right? You see the corn stalks, the variety of pumpkins, the gourds, the mums, the asters, brings in all the color, right?
Right.
It's kind of cool to see that, too. Plus, you can take your kids out, they can pick some pumpkins. They can they can help out with that display, or David J. Frank can help you with it.
DavidJFrank.com is the website. You mentioned some landscaping. So, like, really, we could put something in the ground even now in October?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. When you look at deciduous material, great time to plant it is when it's going into its dormancy, right? Then it's already in the ground. It's ready to go next spring. It's already gone through its first winter in a dormant state. So you have a lot better survivability with that. Also, with the weather we're having, we're still seeding lawns right now, which is uncommon, but it looks like the next 30, 45 days are going to remain pretty temperate. So there's opportunity for that as well.
And being outside, man, like everyone I know in my neighborhood, even if it's fall, doesn't matter. They're outside, they're in their lawn, they're doing things.
Yeah, people in Wisconsin, they love their outdoor spaces. They love their lawns. Something else people in Wisconsin love are these nice, beautiful falls that we have, right? So I'm encouraging everyone out there, enjoy one last boat ride, get to a Brewer game, get to a Badger game, get to a Packer game, take a hike out in the woods. Let David J. Frank take care of your landscape needs.
DavidJFrank.com is the website. This is a Sunday Sip on News Radio WTMJ, speaking with Director of Sales Randy Hill. Okay, so David J. Frank, been around 65 years. Why David J. Frank for my lawn?
Sure. Well, we check all the boxes when it comes to professionalism, expertise, the customer experience that we deliver. We've got over 36 certified graduate horticulturalists, registered landscape architects. And we take the approach, we're a very people-first company. So that starts with our own team. Like, we take care of them. We train them. We want to enhance their lives, knowing that it's going to make their lives better, and it's going to make our customers' experience even better as well. We're a company, our mindset is we work with our clients, not for our clients, right? So it's a very side-by-side approach. So not only do we have the expertise, the knowledge, the horsepower, we take care of our clients. You know, we like our clients to feel like we care about them, and we achieve that by actually caring about our clients, right? And everything that we do. So it's a company mindset that is from the top all the way down. And it's really fun. We've got, I look at, like, a lot of what we do is referral work. It's repeat business work. The amount of clients that we have that say they would refer us to a friend or family member has been above 90% since I've been here, and that's over 10 years. Many years it's in the upper 90s. So that kind of speaks for itself. And we're looking to grow a little bit. You know, we're looking to achieve some new clients. There's a lot of sites that we drive around town and we see, and we aspire to take care of those landscapes.
And you can tell,
too.
Boy, they need some work over there, right?
Or it's beautiful, and we like to make it even more beautiful, right?
I like that better.
Works That's both awesome. Ways.
DavidJFrank.com is the website. David J. Frank, Landscape Contracting Director of Sales, Randy Hill. Randy, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
That website again, DavidJFrank.com. This is a Sunday Sip on News Radio WTMJ.